Chapter 5. Planning the Evaluation of Online Instruction. Abstract. There are two types of evaluation, formative and summative. At this stage of the WBID model, formative evaluation plans are fully developed and summative evaluation plans are developed to a preliminary state. The formative evaluation facilitates the revision of the prototype and its website as they are developed. This evaluation is enacted once the concurrent design stage begins and is then carried into the initial implementation of the online instruction, which would be considered a field trial. The second part of planning, the preliminary planning for summative evaluation, is an important feature of the WBID model. It allows for data about the instructional situation to be collected prior to implementation. Often, valuable information is lost when data on the state of the instructional products or practices is not collected before a new innovation is introduced. The final planning for and conducting of summative evaluation occurs after all implementation. This chapter begins with an overview of the main purposes of evaluation and five general evaluation orientations, followed by a discussion of the evaluation methods and tools. We then discuss how to develop each plan and ways to communicate and report formative evaluation findings. The chapter closes with a discussion of preliminary planning for summative evaluation. Chapter 10 is devoted to the final planning and conducting of summative evaluation and research. Objectives. At the end of this chapter, you should be able to do the following. Explain the general purposes of evaluation. Name the five general evaluation orientations. Compare and contrast formative and summative evaluation. Describe procedures for planning formative evaluation. Explain the advantages and disadvantages of internal and external evaluators. Write a formal evaluation plan. Develop a communication plan for reporting the formative evaluation process and results. Write a preliminary plan for a summative evaluation. Introduction. Evaluation is another critical stage in the design of online instruction. Figure 5.1. Evaluation is the means for determining the value or worth of an instructional product or program. In addition, it is the process of gathering information to decide whether a product needs revision or whether it should be continued as is. We distinguish it here from assessment, which is gathering information used to measure learners' progress toward achieving instructional goals. General purposes of evaluation. The value of instruction is often communicated to its stakeholders in terms of its effectiveness, efficiency, and appeal. All three criteria help determine the ultimate success of online instruction, or how well learners meet the instructional goals and objectives. Table 5.1 presents brief definitions of these criteria. Because all situations differ, the use of these evaluation criteria will vary. In some situations, all three may be applied. Others may require only one or two. For some situations, such as those involving vital safety issues, effectiveness would be more important than appeal to an instructor or organization. Embedded in these evaluation criteria is the notion that the online instruction must function appropriately so that learners can actually use it as designed. Effectiveness. Effectiveness of instruction is measured by determining whether learners have achieved the instructional or learning goals. Success is primarily based on standards stated in the goals or objectives. For example, consider the following fire safety goal. In case of fire, the hospital orderly will apply the correct 5-step procedure for patient care according to hospital safety policy. Because it is crucial that orderlies attain this goal, effectiveness would be the primary criterion for judging instructional value. In this example, the orderlies demonstrating the 5 steps with precision would indicate effectiveness. Efficiency. Even though we know that training and instruction should be effective, there are situations when time, monies, or other resources are in short supply. In these situations, placing emphasis on efficiency focuses the evaluation on determining whether there was a saving in time, money, or other resources as a result of the intervention. Evaluation may emphasize efficiency over effectiveness and appeal. Stakeholders may view the online instruction as being able to deliver essential information just in time. Instructional efficiencies can be viewed in terms of the learner's relative success in meeting learning goals through the lens of the time of the learning process. When the focus is on reducing costs, saving time, or increasing personal proficiency. When efficiency is of greater importance than effectiveness, it is important that the evaluator realize that the online instruction may not provide all-inclusive content, but only the specific information pertinent to complete a particular task. This idea of efficiency is embodied by microlearning, or microcourse. Microlearning is a course comprised of a focused, specific set of learning experiences that typically involve one concept or process. Microlearning can be a standalone course or part of a larger instructional effort. The point of a microcourse is to disseminate knowledge, concepts, or processes in the smallest amount of time possible. Furthermore, a heavy reliance may be placed on both the learner and instructor in diagnosing the type of information needed and determining when it is best to supply it. Identifying the critical path and where problems may occur helps make sure that the instructional goals are met. Just-in-time learning requires that learners' weaknesses are known and that only relevant, appropriate materials are included in the product. Consequently, all of these elements are taken into consideration when evaluating instruction that emphasizes efficiency. Appeal. Although not always considered by evaluators, appeal is another important criterion. Appeal involves gaining and maintaining learners' attention on and interest in the instructional task. Appeal usually focuses on the motivational aspects of instructional content and features, activities, message design, etc. Instructors sometimes assume, or rather, hope that participants are self-motivated to learn in the educational setting. However, instructors and designers often find that the opposite is true and learners are not always engaged. Slavin asserts that individuals are motivated. It is just that their motivations may not be directed toward the instruction or learning process. He argues that it is the instructor's task to redirect learners' attention from something else, for example, lunch, the big game on Friday, unopened email, back to the instruction. Evaluating online instruction in terms of appeal is especially important when the main focus relates to a new policy, procedure, technology, or other changes to be implemented in an organization. Appeal may also be a concern for evaluators when determining whether participants will persist in instruction that involves complex or difficult tasks. An evaluator should consider whether and how the online instruction appeals to learners and encourages their persistence as well as facilitate organizational change. Determining appeal is subjective. What might be considered appealing to children may not be appealing to adults. Appeal may vary for individuals due to their gender, culture, or other characteristics. For these reasons, findings from the learner analysis, see Chapter 3, and evaluation planning should correspond with each other. Usability. Another factor of appeal for online instruction relates to usability, which is related to accessibility and inclusive design. Usability, in general, refers to ease of use and access to the instruction and how easy and intuitive it is to navigate through the website. A formal definition of usability is the, quote, extent to which a product can be used by specified users to achieve specified goals effectively, efficiently, and with satisfaction in a specified context of use, end quote, and is based on U.S. laws and standards such as Title II of the Americans with Disabilities Act, as well as legislation and policies of other countries to address accessibility of and equal access mandates for individuals. Not only must compliance occur within the design, but also in the evaluation of the online instruction. Although all evaluation criteria should be addressed, the level and focus of evaluation may vary. It might be necessary to limit to one or two value criterion. In-depth evaluation uses all three criteria. When planning for the evaluation, the designer identifies questions that align to areas of the three evaluation criteria. General evaluation orientations. Online instruction may be evaluated from a number of frameworks or perspectives. One framework is by Fitzpatrick et al. Their model provides for alternative approaches to evaluation in terms of the purpose, context, and methods. They characterize five orientations to, or models of, evaluation. 1. Program-oriented. How well instruction achieves project goals. 2. Decision-oriented. How well instruction meets external decision-makers' requirements. 3. Consumer-oriented. How well instruction serves general consumers' needs. 4. Expertise orientation. How well independent subject matter experts judge whether the instruction has met goals and objectives. 5. Participant orientation. How well instruction serves specific participants' needs. Each of the orientations has a body of work supporting different methodologies. For example, within the decision orientation category, the CIPP model guides evaluators through the examination of content, input, processes, and product to generate evaluation results. These results provide decision makers and stakeholders with data needed to make choices about the value and worth of the product. Another evaluation follows Kirkpatrick's steps for evaluating. Kirkpatrick's evaluation model has had widespread use among trainers and instructional designers for over 20 years and continues to be popular today. The four steps, or levels, of evaluation are as follows. 1. Reaction. Were the participants' reactions positive and were they satisfied with the instruction or training? 2. Learning. What level of knowledge or skills did the individuals acquire? 3. How changes in behavior or job performance occurred because of the learning process? 4. Results. Was any impact on the overall organization realized because of the learning process? Recently, Phillips, added a fifth level as a way to measure the business impact on the organization by comparing costs and benefits of an intervention. It is as follows. 5. Return on investment, ROI. Are the monetary benefits of the online instruction worth the costs and efforts? It is beyond the scope of this book to examine these frameworks and evaluation models in detail. Designers should consult evaluation resources to determine the best model for their instructional situation. Regardless of the model selected, using a framework guides the scope and direction of both formative and summative evaluation. Gardenscapes. Callie and Elliot are primarily concerned with the effectiveness and appeal of gardenscapes. However, the efficiency of the instruction is thought to be a selling point to potential learners. Learners must meet the course goal, which is to develop a garden plan based on a theme. Learners should also enjoy the course and the delivery system. Finally, they want to know the time requirements for both instructor and learners. Consequently, they will investigate all three areas, but emphasize the evaluation criteria of effectiveness and appeal with a secondary interest in the course's efficiency, identifying the criteria and order of importance in the following table. Next, Elliot decides to use a combination of program-oriented and decision-making-oriented evaluation approaches as described by Fitzpatrick et al. From the perspective of program orientation, learners meeting the learning goals and outcomes of the course is highly valued by CJC. Decision makers at CJC want to ensure that the course is a viable part of their online course catalog offerings. To support the decision makers, Elliot will ensure that areas of context, input, process, and product will inform the evaluation. Because the course is for leisure, the stakeholders are primarily interested in learner reaction, level 1 of Kirkpatrick's model, but learner acquisition of knowledge and skills, level 2, did the learners actually learn, is also important. Elliot creates a matrix to help guide his evaluation planning. Two basic types of evaluation. Two basic types of evaluation occur in design and development, and consequently, in the design of online instruction, formative and summative. The processes associated with each evaluation type strongly influence the designer choices. In the WBID model, formative evaluation processes are integrated in the concurrent design stage to make the online instruction a viable, successful intervention. Formative evaluation. Formative evaluation is the process of evaluating the instructional product during the design and development stages to ensure the success of the product. The purpose of formative evaluation is to review the product for weaknesses and make the necessary revisions to correct errors and enhance effectiveness before implementation. A purposeful and integrated formative evaluation expectation is embedded in the WBID model. Summative evaluation. Summative evaluation is the study of the effects of the instruction that provides information to the stakeholders related to overall value or worth of a product or process after it has been produced and disseminated to its intended audience. Summative evaluation may be conducted to determine whether value was added as a result of implementing online instruction. Was value added because the instruction was implemented? The term value added means that something positive happened that would not have otherwise been accomplished without the intervention. An example of value added criteria is when individuals at different geographical locations are able to take a course because it is now available via the web. The value added in this example could also be related to reduced travel time or virtual collaboration among individuals. Questions that determine if value has been added include, what might have happened if the instruction had not been implemented? And, was the performance enhanced because of the instruction itself? Summative evaluation is used within a cyclical maintenance schedule during the life of the online instruction and is generally conducted after its formative stage is completed, is no longer undergoing major revision, and after a large number of learners have used the instruction. Summative evaluation could occur after its first year offering or as late as 5 years, depending on the instruction's life cycle, but certainly after development has been completed. Based on the summative evaluation findings, stakeholders decide whether the online instruction should be continued as is, modified, or discontinued. Not all instruction is meant to last forever. Stakeholders must consider whether the instruction has served its purpose and is no longer useful. If the instruction does not have such utility, then it should stop being offered. However, if it is still found to be useful, then stakeholders must decide whether to leave it as is or modify it. Developing online instruction requires the use of both formative and summative evaluation. In Table 5.2, a comparison of the two types is presented. The overall purposes of formative and summative evaluations do not differ from those of conventional ID models. However, there are three main differences with the WBID model. Differences between the WBID model and conventional ID models. One difference between evaluation in the WBID model and in conventional ID models is in the timing of the formative evaluation planning. When providing an overview of their formative evaluation stage, Smith and Reagan advocate that these procedures be planned early in the design process and conducted as soon as instructional goals have been stated, to facilitate revising the design prior to its actual development. As with other established models, Smith and Reagan place discussions about formative evaluation procedures toward the end of the presentation of their model rather than at the beginning. With the WBID model, such planning occurs immediately after the analysis stage, before the design process gets underway. The early timing of the evaluation discussion allows the designer to implement a plan for reviewing and revising the online instruction as it is designed and developed. Early planning facilitates integrating evaluation into the concurrent design stage, i.e., an integration of design and development, rather than at development only. Such formative evaluation planning allows for early corrections, which can lead to cost-effective prototypes. Ultimately, early planning and implementation help ensure that formative evaluation is no longer an overlooked ID process. In Table 5.3, conventional ID models are contrasted with the WBID model. As design and development gains momentum, so does the emphasis on formative evaluation. This fluidity among the design and development tasks and the formative evaluation tasks is outlined in Figure 5.2. The arrows indicate the integration of formative evaluation with design and development activities during the concurrent design stage, discussed in Chapters 6 to 8. A second difference within the WBID model and conventional ID models is in the use of tryout groups during formative evaluation, see Table 5.3. ID models, such as Dick et al. And Gagne et al., advocate the use of tryout groups, one-to-one, small group, and field trial, at the end of the development stage. The WBID model, however, not only includes such tryout group activities, but also systematically integrates opportunities for experts and learners to review the instruction at the beginning of and throughout design. For example, after the objectives and assessment items have been designed, an ID expert or subject matter expert, SME, may review them for clarity and alignment. Another example of this integration would be review of instructional strategies by expert, potential instructors, and learners. These early reviews provide designers with information from a variety of viewpoints so that they may revise the online instruction accordingly and enhance it in a timely fashion. The third difference is in the early, preliminary planning of summative evaluation found in the WBID model as compared with other ID models. Table 5.3. Although detailed planning and conducting of summative evaluation occurs after the online instruction has been used by a large number of learners, which is similar to processes in conventional ID models. The main purpose of this early preliminary planning is to ensure that data on the existing instructional situation can be obtained prior to the instruction being implemented and deployed. Such data can be easily retrieved and organized and archived for comparisons once the instruction has been implemented. Formative evaluation planning. Its purpose detailed. Based on the analysis findings and after selecting a general evaluation model strategy, the designer plans for formative evaluation. This early planning allows the designer to review the design products, e.g. objectives, assessment, instructional strategies, and development products, e.g. storyboards, prototypes, websites, for strengths and weaknesses and revise them accordingly. The four main areas reviewed during formative evaluation are instructional goals, instructional content, technology, and message design. The designer uses these strategies for further detailing of the criteria, i.e., efficiency, effectiveness, and appeal, and the purposes of the formative evaluation. Instructional goals. The instructional goals and objectives are reviewed for accuracy, clarity, and completeness, as well as congruence with other parts of the online instruction. Congruence is the degree to which instructional goals and objectives, content, instructional activities, and assessment consistently align or match to each other to ensure the instructional fidelity. Instructional content. The instructional content is evaluated for accuracy and appropriate sequence. Supporting information in terms of practice exercises and their directions are checked for comprehensiveness and clarity, as well as being congruent with other parts of the online instruction. There should be sufficient details provided for learners to understand and achieve the instructional goal. Evaluation of content relates to the educational soundness of the online instruction, its effectiveness and efficiency. The content also is evaluated in its appeal to learners, relevant examples provided, satisfying exercises, etc. Technology. Technology is evaluated for functional errors such as typographical, spelling, grammar, punctuation, and word usage. Errors should be immediately corrected when found. As development becomes the predominant focus of the concurrent design stage, technology applications such as links to other sites and access to website features, discussion forums, mail tools, etc., are evaluated for functionality. As development becomes central to project tasks, technology applications such as internal LMS functionality and external website resources are evaluated for appropriate integration. A technology review of the LMS is twofold. Does the application work properly, and does the incorporated application or function meet the instructional requirements of the design? For example, functions such as discussion forums, chat rooms, and Dropboxes are reviewed. In addition, the alignment of the functionality to the instructional goals and objectives are confirmed. The availability of support and assistance, e.g., help desks, mentors, online help, or frequently asked questions, FAQs, that support learners' technical troubles should also be evaluated. Message design. Message design is characterized as an interdisciplinary and linking science in terms of language, art, aesthetics, information communication, cognition, business, law, and media. Message design is the process of how information is presented to a learner and involves integrating disparate elements to tell an instructional story via the integration of text, graphics, video, and audio. Message design is evaluated in terms of whether the text and media, as well as the layout of the pages/screens, are aesthetically pleasing and lead to a clear instructional message. The message, how the materials are presented visually, both graphically and textually, are reviewed in terms of direction clarity, instructional sequence, and organization, minimization of distractions. Lore also suggests that designers should review the appropriate use of elements such as humor, language and tone. Graphical, visual, animated or static, and audio elements are examined to ascertain how they support and enhance the instruction and help learners achieve the instructional goal. Graphical devices, such as icons and links, are evaluated for their relevance and clarity to the web-based learning, navigation, and purpose. Using the three evaluation criteria and the four formative evaluation areas, a number of questions are identified as a guide to formative evaluation planning, Table 5.4. In using this guide, the designer selects specific questions that directly relate to the particular project rather than attempting to address all of the listed questions. As the concurrent design and development and formative evaluation process begins, the designer may find it necessary to make adjustments by deleting some questions and adding others. Additionally, the designer may need to provide a rationale for the selected question and also describe the process used to specify the questions. This additional information is often necessary with large, complex projects or when upper-level management or administration require such documentation. With their own set of questions, designers can develop an evaluation matrix for the specified questions. Later, the methods and tools for data collection will be added to complete this matrix, which will then be incorporated into the formative evaluation plan, a part of the design document. Gardenscapes. Elliot develops a list of questions to review with Callie that he plans to address during formative evaluation. They are based on the evaluation criteria already identified and use the four main categories. Elliot organizes them into an evaluation matrix. As part of his rationale, he writes that he reordered the criteria in terms of their importance to the Gardenscapes project. Formative evaluation plan, detailing the main steps. The main steps in planning for formative evaluation are similar to any evaluative process: identifying people, materials, and resources, gathering data, processing information, and reporting results back to the stakeholders. Six questions provide a structure for developing and organizing the formative evaluation plan, Table 5.5. For the question, what are the evaluation methods, part of the information has already been answered in the analysis phase and can be used in the plan. Who are the stakeholders? What is being evaluated? Who are the evaluators and reviewers? What are the evaluation methods? When and how should this evaluation take place? What decisions need to be made as the design plans and prototypes are developed and revised? These questions can be used to head the sections of the formative evaluation plan. Such documentation facilitates clear understanding of the process and procedures to be undertaken in the project and provides a clear accounting of the questions and potential answers. The formative evaluation plan becomes part of the design document. This plan also serves as the basis for reporting on the evaluation. Results could provide a framework for a deliverable for any contractual agreement with the client or stakeholder. Who are the stakeholders? The formative evaluation plan identifies the stakeholders in the project and to whom the information is reported. The stakeholder group may include clients, employees, managers, technology support staff, administrative support staff, and potential learners. The individuals or groups directly involved in the production and delivery, or have a decision-making authority, are considered primary stakeholders. individuals or groups indirectly affected or only tangentially responsible or interested in the instructional situation are called secondary stakeholders. Refer to Chapter 1 for more details. During formative evaluation, the primary stakeholders would be the instructor, designer, and other team members. Learners could be either primary or secondary stakeholders depending on their involvement in the design. Because organizations and situations vary, others may also be identified as stakeholders. In some situations, such as when a lone designer or instructor as developer is creating the online instruction, the primary stakeholder would be that individual and possibly learners. Secondary stakeholders would be the principal and parents when children and adolescents are the learners. In large school districts, the curriculum or technology coordinators could be included as well. In other cases involving an instructor as developer, the process of formative evaluation planning may be quite informal. For instance, college professors and instructors are primarily left on their own to develop their courses. Some coordination among faculty may occur when multiple sections of the same course are involved. Most universities now have established centers for online and distance learning that serve as oversight for the quality and accessibility requirements and policies. Additionally, these centers may provide pedagogical and technical support related to online instruction. Gardenscapes. Elliot continues with formative evaluation planning for Gardenscapes. He has identified the primary stakeholders as Callie, course instructor, and himself, Elliot, designer. Both make major decisions about the online instruction and are directly affected by the project. The potential adult participants, especially those in a tryout group, are included as primary stakeholders because of their direct involvement in reviewing the instruction as it is designed and delivered. The TLDC support personnel help support the development and implementation of Gardenscapes, but have limited involvement and decision-making roles. They are considered to be secondary stakeholders. Two additional secondary stakeholders include TLDC Director Carlos Duartes and an IDT Professor Judith Chauncey, Elliot's academic advisor. Because Elliot is a TLDC intern, he needs to provide internship reports to both Mr. Duartes and Dr. Chauncey, who will assign his internship grade. Elliot follows the outline discussed in one of his evaluation courses, coincidentally taught by Dr. Chauncey. Gardenscape's general stakeholders, primary stakeholders. Instructor, Callie LaRue. She is responsible for the successful implementation of the course and for its content. She consults Elliot in design. Designer, Elliot Kangas, TLDC intern. He is in charge of designing the course, developing the evaluation plans, and conducting the formative evaluation plan in collaboration with the instructor. Learners. The adult participants of Gardenscapes have direct impact on the success of the implementation. Some will have direct access on the design as part of the tryout review. Specific tryout participants will be named at a later date. Secondary stakeholders. Carlos Duartes, supervisor of the internship program. He will observe and review Elliot's design work and will communicate with Dr. Chauncey on his progress. Dr. Judith Chauncey, IDT professor at Myers University. Dr. Chauncey is both Elliot's advisor and intern supervisor. She will observe and review his progress from the IDT program standpoint and will communicate with Mr. Duartes. She will assign the internship grade. What is being evaluated? The second section, What is being evaluated, focuses on the specific instructional material processes or products that will be examined during formative evaluation. These materials may include design plans, storyboards, instructional content, instructional strategies, interface, navigational features, message and visual design features, prototypes, assessment tools and scores, practice, exercises, and more. The relevant questions for the materials have already been identified and can be found in the formative evaluation matrix. Refer to Table 5.4 and your own evaluation matrix. Identifying and describing the specific instructional products and processes facilitates how the design and formative evaluation are linked together. Gardenscapes. Elliot addresses the section, What is being evaluated, and incorporates his answers into the formative evaluation plan. During the Gardenscapes design, Elliot and Callie review the objectives, assessment items, clustering of objectives, instructional strategies, and motivational strategies in relation to the specific questions that have been previously identified. If other questions arise and they need additional advice or expertise, they have identified two subject matter experts. Ms. Layla Gunnarsson is head of the TLDC's technical support. Dr. Nico Tamura is director of the Golden Valley Botanical Gardens. As the prototype and its supporting website further develops the content information, practice exercises, assignments, and assessments are reviewed by Callie, Elliot, the designer, and his internship supervisors. In the tryout, the participants will be asked to review and comment on the materials. In the evaluation, Elliot will determine the amount of time required for the instructor and participants to implement the online instruction. Who are the evaluators and reviewers? The Joint Committee on Standards for Educational Evaluation Committee has developed standards used by educational evaluators. The committee's standards include areas related to use, evaluation is valuable, feasible, evaluation is effective and efficient, respectable, evaluation is ethical, accurate, evaluation is reliable and valid, and accountable, evaluation is well documented. To meet these standards, evaluators need to be trustworthy, be competent, and have content and process knowledge. In formative evaluation, the designers or design team members are typically the evaluators, which make them both data gatherers and decision makers. Their formative evaluation responsibilities include identifying strengths and weaknesses of the online instruction so that modifications can be made. Expert reviewers should be identified by their role, content, technical, etc., and their qualifications. If learners will be participating in the formative evaluation, then their background information should also be included in the formative evaluation plan. Information of a confidential nature should not be included unless identifying elements are removed or the information is reported in aggregate form. Gardenscapes. Although Elliot is responsible for developing the formative and summative evaluation plans, he will be involved only in planning, conducting, and reporting results related to formative evaluation. Elliot outlines each member's duties and documents their expertise. He and Callie will work together during formative evaluation, making necessary changes, and report evaluation progress to Carlos with a final report sent to Dr. Chauncey. Elliot includes the following information as part of the design document. Gardenscapes evaluators and reviewers. Evaluator/designer. Elliot Kangas is the main evaluator. His expertise is both in design and development and in formative evaluation. He has taken 3 graduate courses in evaluation methods and theory in his master's program at Myers University. Elliot has also participated in design and development at his previous place of work. Although he is not a member of the TLDC and lacks general knowledge about the operations and culture of the center and of CJC, he will work closely with experts from TLDC. Evaluator/instructor. Callie LaRue has been an instructor at CJC for several years. She holds several levels of expertise. She has the content knowledge because of her Master Gardening certification, has teaching experience with the target audience, and is participating in the design and development. She is familiar with the Continuing and Distance Education Department and the CJC campus at large. As CJC lacks the financial resources to hire outside consultants, Callie, as second evaluator, is able to make effective use of available resources. Expert reviewer. Technical support. Ms. Layla Gunnerson, coordinator of the TLDC technical staff, will review the technical aspects of the prototype, LMS functionality, and any supporting website as needed, and will look specifically at accessibility. Layla has an associate degree in multimedia from CJC, bachelor's degree in computer science from Myers University, and has been on staff for 12 years. She is skilled in multimedia development and graphic design, and is the webmaster for CJC. Expert reviewer, subject matter. Dr. Nico Tamura, director of the Golden Valley Botanical Gardens, will be the subject matter expert, SME, and expert reviewer. Dr. Tamura has been employed with the Botanical Gardens for 10 years and has a terminal degree in horticulture and landscape architecture. She is an active member of the ASLA, American Society of Landscape Architects. Dr. Tamura has extensive experience with the content area and has worked with Cali on other continuing education projects. An expert reviewer, instructional design. As part of Elliot's internship program, Dr. Chauncey and Mr. Duartes will review Gardenscape materials. Both have educational backgrounds and professional expertise in instructional design. End user reviewer. The participants from the Garden Basics course will be asked to participate in end user reviews during the formative evaluation. 1 or 2 learners will be asked to review the design plans as they develop. Others will be asked to participate in the field trial. Participants will be recruited based on experience levels with gardening, technology skills, motivation levels, and dependability to complete the course. The exact number of learners who will be needed will be determined by factors such as the methods and tools used and the time frame needed for data collection. Elliot is drafting a request to participate letter incorporating standard language for participation by the CJC's Institutional Research Board. What are the evaluation methods? Planning for formative evaluation continues by identifying methods and tools for gathering data. The purposes of the evaluation and the complexity of the project often determine what methods are employed. These methods have been outlined previously, Table 5.4. Practical matters such as time, budget, and logistics influence the selection of methods and tools. A number of methods of data collection can be used in any evaluation. However, not all of them are viable for evaluating online instruction. Methods appropriate for formative evaluations include focus groups, performance testing, surveys, expert and end-user reviews, observations, and extant data. In Table 5.6, various methods and tools or data sources to the list of questions presented in Table 5.4 are listed. See also Appendix A for a description of data gathering methods and tools. It is best to select the simplest methods for formative evaluation, especially when practical constraints exist. Simple evaluative methods maintain the integrity of evaluation while staying pragmatic about the project. For example, if time constraints exist, the evaluator can use surveys with end users rather than employing extensive interviews or observations. If the evaluation has a limited budget and critical time constraints, then the number of end-user participants and types of formative evaluation methods can be restricted. When identifying the methods and tools of the formative evaluation plan, designers should explain or justify their use as well as provide samples of the actual instruments in their design document appendices. They also must identify sources and obtain permissions for instruments that are copyright protected. Gardenscapes. Elliot adds a third column to his evaluation matrix, describing the data sources that will be used during their formative evaluation. They decide to use expert and participant reviews, surveys, and extant data collection as the main methods and tools for gathering data. Gardenscapes evaluation methods. Elliot will interview a sample of 3 to 4 learners about different elements of the evaluation criteria. In addition, for learners in the field trial, a questionnaire with specific questions about instructional goal, instructional content, technology, and message design will be distributed. As he develops the instruments, Elliot will set up meetings with identified experts at designated times for their feedback on the instruments. At a designated point within the concurrent design stage, various reviewers, experts, and learners will be asked to critique the online instruction for effectiveness, efficiency, and appeal. They will also be asked to identify where they experience difficulties both with the instruction and the website. Elliot must develop his own data gathering tools or instruments. He develops an opinion questionnaire and interview questions before beginning the design stage, and is developing the checklists for the expert reviewers and for the observations. These instrument items will align with evaluation matrix questions. CJC has an accessibility checklist for use by technical and content reviewers. Because Elliot plans to adapt instruments from other sources, he references the sources of each instrument in the design document. The instruments appear in a design document appendix called Formative Evaluation Instruments. The questionnaires will be used to obtain learner perceptions and opinions about the instructional, motivational, and technical aspects of the online instruction. For reviews of initial design components, instructional strategy worksheets, storyboards, and screen designs will be used as a basis for review and discussion. Learners and reviewers will access the draft instruction in the LMS and use paper-based checklists. The checklist will guide the learners and reviewers through the instruction and provide them with the opportunity for feedback on each section and the functionality. The final instruction and assessments completed in the field trial will be used to determine how well learners meet course goals and objectives. Learners in Cali will be asked to document time spent on activities and preparation of assignments. To evaluate the value-added aspects of the instruction, Elliot will interview Cali and other primary and secondary stakeholders. When and how should evaluation take place? How the formative evaluation takes place to some degree depends on the type of evaluation methods being planned and when the data will be collected. The designer, or in some situations a project manager, estimates the beginning and ending dates of formative evaluation. Formative evaluation data are collected throughout the WBID concurrent design stage through initial implementation. See Table 6.1 in Chapter 6 for an example. The results of the formative evaluation determine what revisions of the design plan or prototypes, e.g. storyboards, product, are necessary. Formative evaluation during design. The WBID model recognizes that waiting until the development of the prototype is rather late for revisions to begin. Instead, the WBID model allows for both experts and end users, e.g. instructor, learners, and others involved in the learning community, to review the online instruction from the beginning of the design stage. To begin, the designer and other members of the design team review the design plans. This aspect of the formative evaluation may be conducted by the designer, another member of the design team, or the project manager. Expert reviewers are used as needed. The design plan is examined for goal clarity, meaningful examples, and relevant instructional activities. These individuals may review the instructional and motivational strategies for their effectiveness, appropriateness, and potential learner motivation. The purpose of using these types of reviews is to improve the design plans as they evolve. Formative evaluation during prototype development. Content and ID experts, as well as technical experts, can review the storyboards once they are developed. This review continues as screens and navigational structures emerge. As versions of the prototypes are developed, expert reviewers revisit the major instructional goals and objectives. SME and ID experts review the online instruction for structure, content, graphics, and message design features. Again, potential end users also may review these early renditions for context and design frameworks. Formative evaluation in the final prototype development. As the development shifts into final prototype, tryout with participants may begin. Three types of tryouts, one-to-one, small group, and field trial, can be used to review instructional prototypes with the learners during the development stage, depending on time and resources. One-to-one tryout. Typically, one-to-one tryouts are evaluations in which the evaluator and a learner review the materials together. Dick et al. Suggests that 3 one-to-ones be conducted to gain different learner perspectives about the instruction. One-to-one tryouts help evaluators make sure that the information is complete and that the message is appropriate for learners. Tryout participants review instructional strategies to determine whether they are satisfactory. Graphics and visual design can be reviewed for relevance and appropriateness to the instruction. Reviewers can provide feedback on errors in grammar, spelling, punctuation, and so on. Small group tryout. With established ID models, the small group tryout uses a small sample of targeted audience using a purposeful sample, 4 to 10 representative learners, to work through the instruction more or less as intended. The materials have been revised based on the one-to-one results, but still in prototype form. Because the tryout group members may be at a distant location, the evaluator might need to observe group members as they interact with the materials through video conferencing and follow up with interviews or questionnaires. Evaluation instruments such as checklists and surveys can be used to gather feedback. With small group evaluations, the online instruction should be near completion so that reviewers can gain an accurate view of how participants will interact with the lesson. With a small group, the evaluator gains a sense of length of time learners require to complete the instruction and how well they perform on the assessments and assignments. Field trial. Field trials occur after the final revisions to the prototype are made, based on small group and one-to-one tryout feedback and results. Depending on the level of difficulty of the content, the extensiveness of the target audience, and the complexity of the online learning environment, there may be several field trials to gain sufficient data prior to the final version of the instruction being completed. The evaluator monitors the field trial, distributes evaluation instruments, or may have the instructor distribute them, and identifies what should be, at this point, only minor and minimal revisions. Once these revisions are completed, the instruction goes into final production and full implementation. In the field trials, the instructional materials are completely online and functional. Trials are conducted with participants who match or are a sample of the target audience. Results of the field trial identify any remaining errors and adjustments to take the prototype in its final form. Online instruction is considered to be final when it is being fully implemented and disseminated to large numbers of learners. Although designer and instructor may continue to make minor revisions from time to time to fine-tune the experience, the instruction is considered to be in its final form when no further substantive revisions are necessary at the end of the field trial. Modifications to the when and how of formative evaluation. Although the WBID model allows for all three types of end-user tryouts for a complete formative evaluation to be conducted, it also allows for exceptions, such as those due to an organization not being able to support extensive design and evaluation prior to implementation. We realize the tryouts may not occur due to difficulty in locating a sufficient sampling of the targeted audience, or because logistical problems with the web-based learning environment do not allow for early access to the instruction. While the WBID model allows exceptions, it still requires that some form of tryout with end users be performed as part of the formative evaluation. For example, one adaptation is that the evaluator or designer asks individuals who have similar characteristics to the target audience instead of an actual sampling of the audience to review the design plans and prototypes. Only one or two of the three tryouts may be used instead of all three. Finally, use of the WBID model allows for initial implementation to serve as the formal field trial to be discussed further in Chapter 8. For instance, it is commonplace for college and university professors to use their first course offerings as a field trial. Often, higher education faculty members do not have the opportunity to fully design and develop a course prior to its initial offering. Once the initial implementation as the field trial is completed, then the online instruction can be put into final form based on the field trial results. Gardenscapes. Elliot and Callie add their plans for data collection to their design document. Gardenscapes evaluation methods and schedule. Formative data will be collected throughout the design, development, and implementation of Gardenscapes. Based on the data collected, changes will be made to the online instruction. Due to time constraints and the unavailability of participants, the one-to-one tryouts will not take place. Dr. Tamura and Mr. Duartes will review the course functionality and structure prior to any learners seeing the course. A small group trial will be conducted, a purposeful sample of between 4 and 10 adult participants who completed the basic garden course will be used. A discussion thread will be included in the class as a place where learners can post their questions and comments about content, sequence, structure, and assessments. Elliot will reach out to learners individually to interview them about their perceptions of the class. In addition, when learners finish the final quiz, they will be taken to a Level 1 survey where they can share additional, anonymous feedback. Elliot will monitor learner participation and access. Once changes to the online instruction are completed based on the small group tryout results, final changes to Gardenscapes will occur. The initial implementation of Gardenscapes will serve as the field trial. Again, this strategy is due to time constraints and unavailability of participants. What types of decisions need to be made as the design plan and prototype are developed and revised? With each step in the formative evaluation, the data are collected and must then be analyzed. In most cases, formative data will be rather easy to analyze. Performance assessments can be quantified in frequency tables or as descriptive statistics, mean, mode, median, standard deviation. Survey data can be presented through graphics and charts, descriptive statistics, or percentages. Some data may be appropriate for use in inferential statistical tests such as the t-test, ANOVA, and COVA, linear regression, or multiple regression. Non-parametric tests such as chi-squared can be used for data that do not meet the assumptions for statistical analysis. An in-depth discussion of quantitative methods is beyond the scope of this book. It is best to consult research methods and statistical resources for additional information and direction to determine the best type of analysis for a particular evaluation project. From a qualitative perspective, interviews may have to be transcribed and coded so that common themes and patterns can be identified. Generated themes can be used to help interpret findings, draw conclusions, and make recommendations. Additional feedback from expert and end-user reviewers and observations may be evaluated in a similar fashion. Qualitative analysis processes can be quite complex and are beyond the scope of this discussion. It is best to consult other resources for specific information on qualitative research methods and analysis techniques. Modifying based on results of the data analysis. Based on the results generated by data analysis, decisions are made as to instructional modifications. Some modifications are easy to integrate into the project. In some cases where the modifications are merely editing errors, those errors can be simply changed and documented. Other modifications may require interpretation by the designer and/or agreement with other stakeholders, such as data containing conflicting information. For instance, some end users may have responded that the information was too lengthy, others that it was too brief. The designer and other stakeholders must agree how to interpret mixed findings and, in those cases, determine what modifications, if any, should occur. One way to determine which modifications should be made is to examine other data, such as the expert reviews, practice exercises, test scores, and the quality of completed assignments. The views of the instructor should be considered. Additional input from decision makers may be necessary when revisions require additional time and resources. Further discussion of formative evaluation, the reviews and revisions to the design plan and prototypes, appears in chapter 6 through 8. Gardenscapes. Elliot adds further details and explanations to their formative evaluation plan, making sure that he asks Callie to review his draft. Once this last section is completed, it is included in the design document. Ongoing decisions made while developing and revising the design and prototype. Data analysis will occur as data are gathered. Expert reviewers, designer, and subject matter experts will analyze comments and written notes created by content and technical experts, the small group participants, and the field trial participants. Based on the results, the online instruction will be modified as needed. As data are gathered on the prototype, results will be analyzed to determine necessary revisions. Participants' final garden plans will be reviewed by content and instructional design experts during the field trial. Participants will scan or take a picture of their design to share in the discussion area of the LMS. Perception and opinion data will be analyzed as well to further describe the results. Communicating formative evaluation results. Communicating and reporting results of an evaluation ensures that stakeholders and decision makers are kept up to date on design, development, and future implementation plans. There may not be a need for a detailed communication plan when the online instruction is being developed by a lone instructor as developer for her or his own use. However, documenting decisions, evaluation results, and revisions made is encouraged so that there is a historical record of the project. Too often, memories fail and only vague recollections remain of the design and development process and associated decisions. Forms of communication. Two basic forms of communicating processes and results are verbal and written reports. Verbal reports permit information to be shared quickly and informally with easily accessible stakeholders. Written reports take on a formal, permanent form and are static objects that record and communicate decisions. A combination of the two forms is often the best way to disseminate information about plans, procedures, and results of the project. When communication structures are complex, with multiple communications and channels, consistency should be maintained to make sure that the same message is shared. If, for some reason, changes occurred between a verbal report and its written documentation, then the written report should state what changes were made and why. Other critical features of reporting practices include timeliness, brevity, clarity, and responsiveness to the audience. Stakeholders should be kept in mind when reporting results, especially when considering the amount of information that they receive. Avoiding communication overload using strategies such as executive summaries, charts, and graphics can help share the appropriate message. A report may be given as the evaluation is in progress, at the end of the evaluation, or both. Verbal reports. Verbal reports are often used to inform stakeholders and design team members about the progress being made, problems that have been encountered, and other issues requiring solutions. Verbal communications may be in the form of telephone conversations, presentations, or one-to-one conversations. These reports, however, are impermanent, and memory of what was actually said and heard is, of course, less reliable than written communication. Written reports. Written documents, such as memos and letters, update stakeholders on the process of the evaluation and can be used as interim and final reports. Interim reports keep clients and design teams informed of project progress. Interim reports provide incomplete or partial information based on their timing. These reports are static when they are sent and received. Updates and new versions enable additional information about changes that continue to occur, facilitate ongoing communication. Providing updated interim reports is valuable, although there is the risk that incomplete statements can be misinterpreted. Misconceptions can be clarified in subsequent reports. Some designers use a report template, Table 5.7, to track decisions made during design and development. This template allows them to identify details pertaining to decisions or changes, including the person responsible for those decisions, the date, and the basis, rationale. If the design project is contractual, then there may be an additional line for signatures or initials. The final report typically includes an executive summary and full documentation of the evaluation. The executive summary highlights the evaluation activities, findings, and recommendations in a brief, concise manner. The executive summary appears at the beginning of the report and provides an organizing structure for the full body of the report. The full report describes the evaluation process in detail, beginning by describing the purposes, goals, and criteria used. The target audience, instructional resources, and instructional setting, evaluation methods, tools, and procedures are described, as are the major evaluation questions. The report presents a complete discussion of the results, including an explanation of data analysis procedures. In some cases, findings are not only interpreted, but recommendations based on those findings are offered. Information dissemination can also occur via professional briefings, presentations, and publications. Those formats are often used when professionals gather at conferences, summits, or meetings. Papers may be presented at organizational meetings or professional or scholarly conferences. Evaluation description and results can be published in a professional magazine or scholarly journals. Dissemination may occur through an organization's newsletter or through online publications. Some publishing houses report the results of evaluation activities as a marketing tool to provide information about instructional products to potential customers. Gardenscapes. Elliot and Callie plan to communicate and report results in Gardenscapes using both verbal and written communications. They include these communication plans in the design document. Regular meetings will be held to keep stakeholders up to date on progress. For Elliot's internship, he will prepare two interim progress reports for Dr. Chauncey and Mr. Duartes, in which he will document major design decisions and subsequent modifications. He will use a report template, see Table 5.7, to communicate decisions that have been made, the person responsible for those decisions, the date, and the basis, rationale, for those decisions or modifications. He will document any changes to the initial formative evaluation plan. Callie will use results to present at an upcoming continuing education curriculum development conference. Elliot's final formative report will include a brief overview of the evaluation in an executive summary. Since the structure of the final report will contain interim reports, he plans to save all documents to simplify the writing of the final report. Preliminary planning of summative evaluation. At this stage of the WBID model, only preliminary plans for a summative evaluation are developed. Chapter 10 is devoted to finalizing and conducting summative evaluation. Recall that the main purpose of summative evaluation is to determine the overall value, or value added, of the online instruction once it has been implemented for a specified period of time. Summative evaluation generally occurs at some point during the life cycle of the online instruction. A formal summative evaluation may occur after the first full implementation or on a specified time schedule, depending on the stability of the content, the learners, context, and/or technology. The timing of the summative evaluation is ultimately at the discretion of the client or decision makers, based on specific needs and requirements. Preliminary planning of summative evaluation plays an important role in subsequent events. First, it helps to ensure that the summative evaluation actually occurs. In many cases, summative evaluation is discussed but does not take place. By having plans, even very general ones, in place, clients may be encouraged to conduct an evaluation on the education or training that occurs within their organizations. Second, proactive planning facilitates necessary data collection related to the current instructional situation. Often, data about instructional products or practices currently in use are not collected prior to a new innovation being introduced, which causes valuable information to be lost. Losing such data makes comparisons difficult, if not impossible, and the discussion of effectiveness of any new innovation becomes somewhat limited. Early planning allows for baseline data to be collected on existing instruction or program effectiveness for later comparison once the instruction has been fully implemented. Baseline data collection and the later data collection during the summative evaluation are based on the criteria of effectiveness, efficiency, and appeal, just as in formative evaluation. Concurrently, a preliminary set of questions and potential methods and tools for the summative evaluation are identified. The evaluation plan can consist of features similar to those found in the formal evaluation plan, Table 5.8. Other considerations for evaluation planning. In addition to the criteria previously discussed in formative evaluation, there are other considerations for collecting data for a summative evaluation. Presented in outline form below, these issues are fully presented in Chapter 10. Establish a time frame for developing or purchasing instrumentation and tools, such as surveys, questionnaires, interview questions, observation checklists, review sheets, and assessments. This time frame is especially important when gathering benchmark data. Determine if internal or external evaluators will be used. Validate evaluators' knowledge, skills, and abilities in the selected evaluative methods or tools. Establish data collection and analysis protocols. Identify additional subject matter experts if needed. Obtain human subjects approval if necessary. Identify end users, explaining the evaluation process to them, sharing expectations, and obtaining any needed consent before the evaluation. Identify specific dates for data collection, as well as the quantity and types of materials and tools needed for each of those dates. Determine when experts are to complete and return their reviews. Allow time to collect, code, and analyze data as the evaluation occurs. Establish procedures, including dates and times, for communicating with clients and other stakeholders. The evaluator/designer will need to sufficiently describe and document these considerations to allow for any required baseline data collection. If such data are collected and analyzed, then a description of the results can be included in the preliminary summative evaluation planning. Adequate description allows future evaluators to follow and expand information for later summative evaluation data collection. As with any evaluation, summative evaluations should include a final report of the process, findings, and recommendations. The final report would be formatted with an executive summary followed by a full report. We discussed the reporting of summative evaluation in Chapter 10. Gardenscapes. To prepare for the summative evaluation that will occur after full implementation of the Gardenscapes course, Elliott identifies several main questions and the data sources that will be needed to address those questions. These questions are based on the discussions he and Callie had with Carlos and Dr. Chauncey. They include the preliminary summative evaluation plan in the design document. Preliminary planning for summative evaluation. Because his internship at the TLDC will end long before the summative evaluation is scheduled to occur, Elliott devises only preliminary plans. He provides enough detail and an outline so that whoever conducts this evaluation will have the beginnings of a summative evaluation plan. Gardenscapes is a new course offering at CJC. There are no data to obtain on a pre-existing course. Because of the lack of any comparison data, Elliott determines that using a pretest and post-test design for the summative evaluation will show whether the online instruction was successful, which relates to effectiveness. Because of the extensive nature of a summative evaluation, Elliott adds the following methods for data collection to the outline. Opinion surveys will be used to generate information about ease of use and interest, which relates to appeal. This information should be obtained from the instructor, participants, and the TLDC technical support staff. Periodic observation of discussions and emails will provide information on the efficiency aspects. The results of this evaluation will be written in a final report submitted to the stakeholders, who include the instructor, the TLDC director, and the dean. This report will provide the evaluation methodology, results, and recommendations based on the findings. Elliott plans for both formative and summative evaluations. The completed formative evaluation plan is made ready for implementation, and the general purposes for the summative evaluation are identified. He presents the plans to Mr. Duartes for approval. Wrapping up, evaluating online instruction is critical to its success. In many respects, the WBID model is comparable to conventional or long-established ID models in that data sources and evaluation procedures are similar. However, the timing of planning the evaluation differs. Integrating evaluation planning into the early stages of the WBID model facilitates successful design and delivery. Two types of evaluation planning occur at this stage: a detailed plan for formative evaluation and a preliminary plan for summative evaluation. Incorporating end users and expert reviews early into the design and development stages, rather than at the end of the development stage, is another difference between the WBID model and other ID models. The final difference is the recognition that it may not be feasible to conduct all three types of tryouts, one-to-one, small group, and field trial, when developing online instruction. The types of tryouts used in the formative evaluation of design and development greatly depends on availability of and access to potential members of the target audience and the functionality of the web-based learning environment. Formative evaluation findings are documented and used to make modifications to the design plan and prototypes. Preliminary planning for summative evaluation occurs at the onset of the WBID model. The two main reasons for planning on summative evaluation are 1. To be able to collect benchmark data, and 2. Help ensure that summative evaluation will occur. Summative evaluation findings will be used to make recommendations about the value of the instruction and whether it should continue to be used. Extending your skills. Case Study 1. PK-12 Schools. Megan Bifford has completed her analysis for the web-enhanced instruction targeted for elementary students. After analyzing the 5th grade science curriculum, her task is to develop a formative evaluation plan and begin the preliminary plan for a summative evaluation. She decides to focus on an objective-oriented evaluation because of the accountability requirements set by the state and district. The Westport School has limited resources, and Megan has no budget with which to work. There is no funding for an external evaluator. Megan will act as the internal evaluator, with assistance from Cassie Angus, the district science coordinator. To begin the evaluation, Megan creates an initial set of formative evaluation questions. Are the technology supports effective? How does the lesson align to the curriculum frameworks and state standards? What are the learner's perceptions of the instructional environment? Does the learner performance improve? As Megan works through the formative evaluation, she outlines her communication plan. Her primary decision-making stakeholders are the superintendent and the school board, with Cassie serving as the liaison between Megan and those stakeholders. Other primary stakeholders include teachers and learners. Parents in the business community are secondary stakeholders. To communicate with the primary stakeholders, Megan will submit a series of written reports, culminating with a summative evaluation that follows a research methodology. Megan will give presentations and provide training to teachers. She will give presentations to the PTA. In addition, she will create an informational flyer for learners and parents. Megan begins to work on her summative evaluation plan before she starts to design her learning environment. In Westport Schools, Megan is working with a motivated group of interested teachers at the 5th grade level and a large pool of learners. She has already identified 2 teachers to work with during formative evaluation as the web-enhanced instruction is developed. Cassie will continue working with Megan during design and development. Cassie will serve as the SME, as will the 2 designated 5th grade teachers, Rhoda Cameron and Buzz Garrison. Once revisions have been made to the prototype will be sent to the other 5th grade teachers for implementation into their science curriculum. All of the schools will be included in the summative evaluation. Case Study 2. Business and Industry. Homer Spotwood's safety training program for the M2 company will combine online experiences with hands-on, face-to-face training. The employees are dispersed at several locations around the world, and safety issues have recently mandated the new program. The fire safety program will be the focus of the first set of lessons. Because of the need to make sure that the goals of the organization are fully considered in the program, Homer uses the management orientation as a basis for his formative evaluation plan. CEO Bud Cottrell is particularly interested in a return on investment, ROI, for this new training initiative. Subsequent training using a distributed format will be dependent upon the success of this program, both from cost and instructional perspectives. Homer plans to frame the evaluation around Kirkpatrick's levels of evaluation to determine the project's effectiveness. Because keeping costs down is a major consideration, Homer needs to carefully monitor resources. The formative and summative evaluation plans that Homer creates must capture appropriate data to evaluate the project using an ROI model. Homer determines that it is best to follow a straightforward evaluation plan. He designs major evaluation questions, defining the training experience as web-enhanced instruction. Does employee performance improve after the intervention? How is training time affected by the intervention? What costs are expended and/or saved in the intervention? How do learners perceive the face-to-face environment versus the web-enhanced environment? Bud determines that the best way to justify the training initiatives is to hire an external evaluator who is a safety expert. He directs Homer to begin searching for such an individual. Homer continues to develop his formative evaluation plan and begins to think about his summative evaluation preliminary plan. Case Study 3. Military. Commander Rebecca Feinstein has a progress briefing due to Captain Cameron Prentice in 1 week, covering two aspects of the conversion program critical to the success of this conversion effort, the formative and summative evaluation plans. The formative evaluation plan includes an in-process evaluation of the developing product. The WBID model, which the team is going to use to develop the training product, calls for concurrent evaluation and design. Three development teams have been formed, each addressing one of the major topics. Part of the formative evaluation plan, which Lieutenant Sandra Cole and her curriculum and instructional standards counterpart, Lieutenant Rex Danielson, have developed, calls for a periodic review of the in-process product by another development team. Each team has the technical familiarity and educational background to provide substantive feedback as to the accuracy and clarity of the material presented, as well as the appropriateness of the sequencing, delivery, and assessment strategies. At predetermined points identified in the project management plan, the teams will exchange their products and record their comments on the Learning Content Management System, LCMS. This system provides documentation of critiques of completed work and allows corrective actions to be logged and tracked. A bonus to this part of the formative evaluation plan, to which they frequently refer to as peer review, is that it will allow the teams to develop a homogeneous presentation style. The formative evaluation plan will be conducted in conjunction with the rollout of the product on the web. The LMS will be able to provide pretest and post-test scores, time to train, hours engaged in the lessons, and location of the learners, ship, shore, or home. An LMS will require the completion of an end-of-lesson survey prior to recording that the individual lesson has been completed. This survey includes items asking what factors or characteristics of the online learning experience were most and least appealing. Lieutenants Cole and Danielson plan to conduct this part of the formative evaluation during the first 2 months that the products are available on Navy e-learning. Results of the data will be provided to the original teams for analysis and revision. A preliminary plan for summative evaluation is devised at the same time. The final summative evaluation will provide Commander Feinstein and her staff with key data to present a decision matrix to Captain Prentice. This matrix will include much of the same data that is collected during the 2-month field trial, test scores, time to train, training environment, and satisfaction survey, but over a 1-year period after initial implementation. Additional data will come from surveys and interviews of fleet commanders and senior enlisted personnel to determine how beneficial the instruction is to their organization's missions. The intent is that better trained sailors perform better on the job, and their supervisors recognize this benefit. Captain Prentice will take this information and provide refined guidance on the direction of the expansion of the classroom to online instruction conversion project. Case Study 4, Higher Education. Dr. Joe Sean and his teaching assistant, Brian, continue revamping his undergraduate course, Advanced Management and Leadership, for web-enhanced delivery. The university requires learner evaluations for every course taught. However, this type of evaluation won't provide him with adequate information about the effectiveness, efficiency, and appeal of the web-enhanced course. Dr. Sean plans to survey the learners at the beginning, during, and at the end of the WEI course. He will develop a survey based on others that he has used previously. It will focus on learner perceptions and opinions about the course content, the added web activities, and other relevant aspects. He is particularly interested in their views about the integration of classroom and online activities. Other questions will involve learner views on time and effort required for the web activities, such as the chats and threaded discussions that he'll be using. He decides that he'll need to track the amount of time he spends in facilitating the online activities. Because he is a researcher as well as an instructor, Joe is intrigued as to whether there are other value-added components of the web-enhanced elements of the course. He plans to gather similar data with his current on-campus course offering, using similar self-report surveys. He may video record selected class discussions for later comparison with chats and threaded discussions. Joe plans to compare performance scores on accomplishment of management objectives in the WEI course to scores from previous semesters and the usual scores that are concurrently taught. These are just preliminary ideas, and Joe will have to review the literature on teaching online in a business college as he extends this line of research. He plans to write and publish in this area so that he can advance his progress for promotion. Prior to collecting data, he will submit a human participants form to the university's Institutional Research Board for their approval of the study.